Yes, 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 we are here yet again. I don't know what episode this is. Do you? Do you know what episode number we're on?
Late 50s.
Like how I feel every goddamn morning in my late 50s. No, I actually feel good. I feel good. It's been a hot minute since I had, since I got drunk. It's been a hot minute since I smoked a cigarette. Pretty happy about my life right now. Watch me fall over dead tonight. Clean everything up, and then the universe is like, nope, fuck you.
No, I'm reading more and more articles about the evils of alcohol.
The evils of alcohol? Yeah, I think it's one of those weird substances, man. It's like you can't have a party without alcohol, right? It's socially not only acceptable or tolerated, but like mandated. Like, you go to a Super Bowl party, you go to a New Year's party, you go to a July 4th party. There's going to be beer, there's going to be cocktails, there's going to be wine. And maybe it's not so good for you. I mean, like, one is fine. But after one, I think it's that low. Like, after one, you get in trouble. Maybe, what is your research today?
Well, that, and experientially.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a guy my weight, you know, two beers a night, I feel, you know, pretty much unfazed the next morning. If I do anything, you know, above that, you know, it ranges from, you know, feeling really tired to, wow, I feel like I'm dying. So, yeah, and I was reading something to the effect that alcohol is unique, you know, just among substances, you know, it's different from drugs, in that the pleasure center in your brain is never really satisfied with alcohol. It always wants more and more and more and is never satisfied.
That's experientially true,
right?
Because, like, you get a buzz, and you could look back and be like, "Oh, I was right, I was fine with that little buzz," but you always want more, and then you get to the point where you're like, not having a good time. But it's really hard to stay right there, just cut yourself off at like one or two.
And that's hard for me because, you know, I get the taste in my mouth, and well, I assume that's why it's hard for everybody. I mean, you just want to keep the party going.
Yeah.
And the problem is, for me, that it tastes so good.
Alcohol does taste good. I will admit that.
I mean, I've learned certain tricks where if I'm being smart, you know, like, I've learned that, you know, if I have something sweet, you know, that kind of takes away
the pleasure.
Well, it kind of cleanses my palate, and I don't. But when you're in the midst of the buzz, you don't want to quit the buzz. You just want to keep on going. So
no.
It's actually not a very effective tool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If you're immature like me. I mean, if you, like, I don't want to be done with alcohol, because I think in certain circumstances, like at a celebration, I think,
yeah, it just can't become habitualized. It's right. Got to be a treat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to get rid of the drinking alone nonsense.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's not a good look, drinking alone. What the fuck's your dog doing over there? Is it masturbating
on its arm? No, I mean, just probably.
I caught my dog masturbating the other day. It was like legit sitting there. And he had, like, you know how when they take a shit, they had that, like, weird hunched over look? He was doing that, except he was sitting on the ground. And his back paw was just, like, tapping on its dick area. And it had that, like, kind of pouty look that dogs do when they're taking a shit. Like, and he was just, like, staring at my wife and I. Just. And just this pounding on the ground, like, and he was just, like, and then he was done.
With back of his leg?
With the back of his leg. It's really funny, pretty funny.
Not uncomfortable?
No, it just made me laugh. He looked uncomfortable as fuck, but he was still going to stare at us. It's like when a dog takes a shit and they just stare at you. They look real uncomfortable, just like, oh, God. I'm doing this thing, man.
Yeah, they feel
vulnerable. A little vulnerable, a little naked.
Right.
And then they're just staring at you, and you're just kind of watching them. Try not to look. Don't look them in the eye. You gotta, you know, you gotta go pick it up later. All that stupid shit. How's your week been, man?
I took yesterday off.
You fucking slacker.
It felt awesome. It
felt fantastic, yeah. I bet.
Yeah, I got a few things done around the house.
Nice. I'm taking tomorrow off, driving my wife and daughter to the airport, or fly down and go be reality TV stars. Dance Moms version 2.0, some shit like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so my daughter might be on NBC. It'll be quick. Like, they're doing a pop star competition, and my daughter's dance team is invited to compete against them. So, my daughter's not trying out to be a pop star. But she can, through their dance, they can thwart and break the hearts and dreams of one of the girls who's competing. That's all you can ask for in life, is to destroy someone else.
Yeah, that's not nothing.
That's not nothing. Hey, that lady that's famous and popular, I kicked your ass one time. So I'm like, go out there and kick your ass, youngin. So that's what I've got going. what do we have today? This is episode 50-something. If you're new to the show, join the Bonfire Sessions Facebook group, and you can win a chance to have your question featured on the show. If your question is picked, you're going to get a PDF copy of one of our booklets. They're out now. They're 99 cents on Kindle, so you're not getting a lot. You know, you're saving a buck. But in these times, even saving a buck is fantastic. And today we have a question from Tommy Two Tones. You know who Tommy Two Tones? Wasn't he an 80s pop star? Tommy Two Tones. No, this is Tommy Stewart. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Tommy Stewart gets today's question. Stewart. Here's my question for possible Bonfire Sessions discussion. So, Jesus. No question mark yet. Like, just what was he exactly? Actually God? Just a dude who, quote, got it? Is there a difference? So, Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus? Oh, Jesus. I say Jesus a lot. Jesus, you know what I say? I would, in my younger years, I would have never been caught dead saying this. Jesus fucking Christ. Can you imagine saying that? Like, as a 15-year-old, Jesus fucking Christ. Like,
it seems ridiculous, but no. I would feel super guilty if I ever did that.
Really bad.
I've come a really long way.
You've really, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't know if we've said this on the podcast before. The slippery slope evangelicals warn about is super true. Like, they warn you, like, you better not go down that route. You're going to end up smoking weed and saying Jesus fucking Christ on a podcast.
No, it all happened.
It all happened. I mean, they're like prophets, those evangelicals, they are.
Yeah, that first little step with Rob Bell that I took, you know, that was it, you know. I slid down the whole slope after that.
It was like Chutes and Ladders, except all the way down. You blame Rob Bell, huh? Well, we all have to have a scapegoat. I don't know if I have just one.
No, I mean,
I'll blame you.
We all know that people don't learn anything until they're ready to learn it. So obviously I was, you know, frustrated with the religion that I grew up with, you know, to the point that, you know, as soon as somebody said anything that I could latch on to, I was more than happy to do it. So,
right.
Yeah, Rob Bell worked for me. But, you know, it didn't work for a lot of people. So.
Your pump was primed.
Right. Just all the,
It sounds bad.
Well, okay, so Rob Bell. So the question, Jesus, who was he? You know, it reminds me of that question, I can't get over the sound your dog's making. got me shook. What are you doing over there? Is it Alan Watts who says something about, like, when you come east, you discuss, you say that you're I am God, all right, something like that, and the Hindus or the people of the east go, oh, finally, like, congrats, you figured out what we already know.
Right. It's kind of.
I totally butchered that quote. Sorry, but you get the gist.
Right. The gist being that, you know, it'd be kind of like somebody like us saying, "Yay, you finally admitted that climate change is caused by human activity." It's like, it's pretty. They're looking down on you when they say that.
Oh, they're being a little condescending.
Right, I mean, because it's so obvious to them.
Okay, yeah, and that's where I think that's where I'm at with Jesus, for me. Like he got it in that way. So when you ask, was he God? Was he just a human? It'd be like yes. I mean, not just a human, but that's what humans kind of are, right? Like, can you separate what God is to what a human is? I don't know how we can separate that necessarily. Because everything I experience is from a human perspective, but I feel like if God is not incarnate in me, then I literally don't exist. So how can Jesus be anything other than what the people of the East kind of already know?
Right, which would be the Hindu cosmology, right? Where, I mean, you know pretty much as I do, so correct me if I'm wrong, but within that cosmology, you have the Godhead, and then you have everybody is a part of the Godhead, essentially. So to say that Jesus was God isn't very special because, you know, he's God, I'm a God, you're a God. I mean, it might be helpful to talk about exactly, you know, what you mean by a God.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, that's a tough one, too, because it's all, like, a lot of it's conjecture. A lot of it is, like, is it really that important? I'd say it's more important that he got it in terms of how to live as a human being. Regardless if you call that human being a God or not, I don't know if that's necessarily that important. Or is it just more important, like, how do you act as a human being? So that's where he gets it, I think. I mean, whether he got it in terms of, like, his relationship with God, I think he did get it. But I'd be open to him not getting some things, too.
Well, I think it's important that you... I think you're going to act differently in life if... whether or not you believe in... like there's some sort of tyrant above you, somebody that's judging your actions.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something above you, yeah, judging your actions, I think you're gonna act differently, possibly, than if everybody is kind of on an equal playing field, where essentially everybody is their own master and, you know, they're forced to figure out how to interact with each other. But there's no overarching, you know, authority that will punish you if you don't act in a certain way. So, I think your actions may not end up any different, but shoot, sorry.
I think they will, though. I think they will. I mean, like, they have for me. Like, I mean, I feel like people think that fear can be a motivator, let's say. But for me, it wasn't. Like, I mean, I believed in a tyrant, and, you know, that was going to judge me in the end and probably judge me pretty harshly. And I wasn't motivated to do nothing. And then I didn't believe that anymore. And I don't even believe, like, in a God with a personality, per se. And I feel like I'm way more motivated to do what's right or do what's good, like, for the betterment of other people.
No.
That's just me. That's just, I mean, some people are motivated by fear, but... A lot of people seem to not be.
Well, I think you're just as motivated, if not more, by gratitude.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a really good point. And, you know, maybe as an aside, I saw a meme today that said, if fear of punishment is the only thing keeping you moral, then you're just a psychopath on a leash.
Hmm. What's the first part again?
If fear of punishment fear is the only thing keeping you, you know, being moral, not murdering somebody.
Yeah. That's like, is it Penn or Teller? Whichever one talks?
Yeah, I have no idea.
The big guy. The big guy who talks. He said something about, like, I don't need a book telling me not to rape. Sorry, trigger warning, the R word. I rape as many people as I want to. Like, zero. I don't want to do that. So, basically, his point being, like, it's a shocking way to say, I don't need something or someone, like, holding something over me, telling me what not to do. You just, I don't know, when you reach into a part of yourself as a human being, like, what do I do in this situation? I think it's there. Like, it's within yourself to do that. And we can get it twisted, but I think it's always there and available.
Yeah.
Within each and every one of us. And that's where I think, like, Jesus was special in a way. I don't know if he was the only one who's special. I'd say, like, any bodhisattva is special. And I'd say Jesus can be labeled a bodhisattva. One who is there to end the suffering in others, to help others find enlightenment.
Yeah.
To really embrace, if he read Buddhism, he would embrace the, you know, the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. And I believe in some sort of way. And maybe he would critique some of it, like probably all Buddhist masters might have a critique of certain things. You know, I don't think any true Buddhist master would get dogmatic about one interpretation of this and that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Buddhism has undergone as much of a transformation as, you know, any other religion has.
I sure.
There's progress within, you know, any respectable, big world religion.
Right. I no longer think of things in terms of, like, Jesus as the only one who did something.
Well, to use biblical language, I have no problem saying that Jesus was one of the first fruits. Like,
that's what Paul says, right?
He was one of, you know, a handful of people that maybe got it right
first.
Yeah.
I'm even cool with Jesus was resurrected, whatever that means. I mean, I don't believe we don't exist after we die. I believe we do. I don't know how it works. I don't know what it looks like. But, and maybe that some resurrection is true. I mean, but then you got a Buddhist like Thich Nhat Hanh talking about the living Buddha and the living Christ, and Buddha's not dead, neither is Christ. So maybe it comes down to what are those things? I mean, maybe the Buddha, what is it, Gautama Buddha, maybe he was the first one to be enlightened, but everyone's a Buddha, just like everyone's a Christ.
But didn't? Oh, yeah. Sorry, right.
Tap into it, realize it, open your mind to it.
Well, I mean, if you want to, like, the essential qualities of being God, I want to say, just off the top of my head, it's being free, you know, in the sense that we talk about it, and that you can see the good. And you're able to, you know, act on it.
Right.
And, just like a sense of creativity. You know, being able to have a mastery of your environment. Not necessarily dominating it. But, so if you want to talk about God as being, among other things, you know, being free and being creative. What was the other part of it that he was talking about?
You're making me get my phone? The other part of the question was, you'll find Tommy Two Tones. Why do I have so many goddamn messages on my phone?
You're so good, huh?
I'm really not.
Well,
I'm not social at all. I don't even like being social.
Okay, because you're connected.
I'm totally connected. What was he exactly, actually God or just a dude who got it? Is there a difference?
Right. So now, I don't think there is a difference. I think you become a God when you realize when you realize the freedom that's available to you, that, well, it comes from clarity. It comes from acknowledging the kind of world that you live in. So that, you know, you're free to interact with it in a positive kind of way.
Is God the right, is using God in that way the right word, though?
Well, the right way? I have no idea.
Yes, right. Right wing.
Then no.
No, but I mean, is it the best way? I mean, at least for me, like, I think of that as, like, true freedom as being human being. But maybe we're splitting hairs. Maybe God and human being are really, like, synonymous in a way. I mean, look, like, Jesus, if in accepted Christian Trinitarian theology, Jesus is God, right?
Yeah.
But he called us brothers and sisters. So unless we're like foster brothers or like adopted from some other country, I don't think that's what he meant. I mean, I think he meant like in a familial way.
Well, I'll just say that.
How are we any different than Jesus?
I mean, in one form or another, I've gone through the Bible, you know, maybe two or three times. I mean, I've never, I'll just say that I haven't come across any passages that would suggest that we weren't, you know, gods as well.
Yeah, there's that one where it says, ye are gods. And Jesus says something about, like, doesn't it say in your scriptures that ye are gods? When they're trying to, like, trap, the scribes are trying to trap Jesus with a question about his quote-unquote blasphemy about him talking about himself in the way he did. And he says, well, doesn't your scripture say ye are gods? And they have to be like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, right? There you go. But I don't know how we ever, you know, get to knowing that fact. Like you just said, I don't, like, we conjecture about it, but I don't know how we can ever know for sure, and I don't know that it really matters.
Yeah, that's
whether you label yourself as God or Jesus as a God, ultimately it doesn't really matter in your day-to-day life. Like, if you realize that you're a quote-unquote God, is that going to change how you go about your day? Hopefully not. I mean, hopefully
you don't turn into a prideful, I'm God! But then you got to see everyone else as God, too.
Right, or hopefully you weren't such a dick in before your realization that, you know, I mean, yeah, like that meme I just read said, I mean, if you need a Bible or religion to tell you to be good, then, yeah, you might need some therapy.
Well, and I think if you need a Bible or something else like that outside of you to tell you what's good, then I think you deny the incarnation. Like, you deny the Holy Spirit. To put the biblical Christianese back on them.
Was God truly incarnated?
Right.
In your body? If right. You can't distinguish between good and bad? Yeah.
Right.
No, that's a really good point.
It's like, well, who's the one being heretical now? Like, I mean, you need the book to tell you that? Or you need, I mean, didn't Jesus breathe the Holy Spirit onto his disciples? So the Holy Spirit is either dead or alive. No Christian would say dead. So then what are you doing? Do you have it or not? Are you totally denying it if you're saying, oh, God doesn't speak now? God doesn't do things now? I mean, when I say speak, I'm putting it in air quotes or whatever. You can't distinguish between good and evil? I mean, I know what John Piper would say about total depravity and all that shit. But come on now.
There just doesn't seem to be the cognitive dissonance with the Hindu cosmology that there does with maybe not, you know, the more enlightened forms of Christianity, but definitely like mainline evangelical Christianity. Like, yeah, spiritual gymnastics, all of that, just try to make it work in your mind. And in the end, it's, you know, going to hell in your gut. Like, even if you're not thinking about it, you know, and convince that your body is unhappy. Jeez.
Yeah. And I think it paralyzes you. It's people always talk about fight or flight, but I think you've got to add, like, freeze. Like, you freeze in place from fear. And I think that's what a lot of them do.
Right. Yeah, I was as in fear of hell as anybody else. Well, I mean, I feared it. But I even went on a missions trip, and I didn't evangelize to nobody.
Like, you didn't save a soul?
No, I know it because I didn't talk to anybody.
I don't think I ever saved a soul. I don't think I ever brought someone to the Lord.
I don't have to say. Yeah, I know.
No, you didn't?
Yeah, even in the evangelical sense.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's... have we pointed it out before on the show that evangelicalism is really just set up for extroverts? Like, it stacked the cards in our favor, in their favor, and stacked the cards against us as introverts. And you just naturally, because of the nature of it, you naturally have an upper hand in the evangelical game when it comes to meeting St. Peter at the gates. How many crowns you're gonna get? I ain't gonna get shit.
That's a really interesting question. Would I have had such a severe reaction against it if I was an extrovert? Like, if I actually enjoyed talking to people about just anything, really?
Right. Well, I mean, I think you would have gotten those dopamine kicks if you ever led someone to the Lord and you like talking to people. Yeah. I think that would have been a dopamine kick early on.
But you're just, yeah, well, I think you're just kicking the can farther down the street.
Maybe.
Something like that, but it would have delayed, I think.
The inevitable?
Yeah. It might have been 40 by the time I was 40 or so.
We would just be starting our deconstruction?
Possibly.
Shit. I'm glad I got on it early. Not early, but I see some of these stories about, like, people deconstructing in their 70s or some shit. Or even worse, like, not even age, just, like, deconstructing while their spouse remains a fundamentalist and they get a divorce. I've heard about that shit. That's hardcore, man.
I'm so thankful that that's not my situation. Yeah, me too. I might actually be divorced because I'm very opinionated when it comes to that, with theology and with, you know, politics.
Yeah.
So.
Well, see, I'm of the belief that I hate the fact that we can't talk religion or politics. I think that's stupid. I think we should all be mature enough to be able to talk about these things. And so I couldn't be with someone, if someone was fundamentalist with me, the way I am, like, we'd get divorced 100%. Because we have to talk about it. I have to talk about this shit. And if we just, but a fundamentalist can't talk with me for, like, in the same house all day, every day, like, shit would not go well. I don't think it'd go well for you either, too. I think even if my wife is a Trump supporter, I don't think I could do it, dude. I'm not trying to, like, shit on Trump supporters. Okay, I am. But I don't think I could personally be like, yo, I mean, shit. I'm going to talk a lot of shit, Ben. And you got to be cool with it. If we're staying together, like, I don't know, man. The blowjobs must be fantastic, though. Because I don't think I could do it, dude.
Theologically, I don't know. I don't, at least at this point in my life, I don't really feel the need to, you know, go out and talk theology with people as much as I do about politics. Like, politics seems more urgent to me, especially in today's climate. So that's more important to me in my marriage. Like, if my wife were a Trump supporter, that would be way more serious than if, you know,
they were a Calvinist.
Yeah.
If they're a Trump supporter who denied climate change,
that would be really difficult. I don't.
You'd be drinking a lot more alcohol than you currently are, probably.
Well, yeah, definitely not less.
baked and drunk every fucking second of the day, dude, just to get by.
Well, it seems like the difference between accepting somebody that is maybe just a little bit ignorant and somebody that is really ignorant, racist, cruel. Yeah, so it's just, it's a whole other ballgame, I would say.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you just got to get over the fact that you're not going to agree with anybody, even with your wife, about everything. So, yeah, there's going to be some disagreement. And
right.
I'm at the point in my life where theologically, meh, I have it figured out for me. And I honestly don't really care to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
Yeah, I don't sit there and talk theology with Lindsay so much. Like, it's just not what we talk about. I mean, we talk about stupid shit people say or things that I come across, but that's more about, like, just personal stuff. Like, what happened today? Well, I wrote an article destroying John Piper. Yeah, that's fun. You want to talk about it? Well, no, we don't have to talk about how to, you know, interpret something in Romans, but I give you the gist of the conversation here. But we don't even talk politics that much. I mean, we kind of both agree on a lot of things, but what we disagree on is just like whatever.
As long as you treat me well, and we generally right. and we generally like hanging around one another.
Yeah, sometimes, most of the time, half the
most
time.
Of the time,
62% of the time,
at least half the time.
There you go. that's the low standard bar right there.
Yeah. No, but like. Yeah, Dave Chappelle said, like, after you reach that 10-year mark with your marriage, you just kind of enter the zone. All that blabby, hippie-jabber stuff just kind of tends to fall away, at least in my experience. I mean, I'm not obviously very talkative by nature. But
I'm not I don't do small talk at all. I'm awkward as hell on the phone with Lindsay sometimes. There's a funny scene from The Office that always makes us laugh. It kind of makes Lindsay cringe, but it makes me laugh hard. Pam and Jim are talking on the phone, and it's just silent. And she goes, "Are you still there?" And he just goes, "Yep." It's super awkward. And it totally reminds her of me, and that's why she cringes. Are you there? Yeah. What? What the fuck? What do you need?
Well, we should all be okay with that kind of thing,
hey.
Though. I think, like, you gotta get over awkward silences. Like, yeah, you might be silent for a while, but it doesn't have to be awkward. Just like being on the phone, even though you're not talking with your wife. It seems like if you're just gonna hold your headsets in silence and you're both okay with it.
Just to feel your closeness. That's yeah. awkward to me, though.
But, yeah, then it's like, kind of... Well,
to me, it's like, when you're on the phone, say what needs to be said, let's just move on. Let's be done with it. Tell me what I need to do. What do I need to pick up? Tell me what... Don't... How was your day, honey? It's fine. Like, we just talk about it later? Like, I don't know how that has to do with Jesus, but... I think Jesus would probably be the same way. My Jesus is like that. He's like, what, man?
It's more of a, I'm going to say, spiritual maturity, possibly. Like, well, like, I think it's better.
Tell yourself that.
I think it's better to not say something than to say something out of weakness. Like you're feeling like you have to fill the silence.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Like, it's better to be awkward than to say something that's stupid.
Yeah. That's true. So. People who talk a lot probably say more stupid shit just because they say a lot.
Right, just the sheer mathematics of
it. There you go. Yeah. But I can't do the phone, man. I can't do the phone. I can't do small talk. I hate when you fucking, like, pull up to a drive-thru and your coffee or whatever you're getting... I don't do, like, fast food or anything, but if you get a coffee at a drive-thru, and the drink's not made when you get up to the front, and then they do the lean out. They got the elbows on. They're just waiting on your drink. You're waiting on the drink. The window's already down. You can't roll it up because then you're a dick. The music's already down because you had to talk to him. Hey, where are you up to today? Where are you headed? I'm like, fuck. Going to work. Well, what do you do? I hate that shit. I should just be super sarcastic at that point. It's about not what you do. Or just say I work at Starbucks. Oh yeah, which store? This store. You never seen me?
If they're
start making stupid shit up.
If they're being genuinely friendly.
No, they are, but I just can't. It's me. It's not them. They're being like super friendly. They're genuinely, at least pretending to be curious.
No, I get it. I mean,
I hate it.
I get it. Yeah, that bugs the hell out of me too.
You ever been at the drive-thru? There's one at a coffee shop in Chico. She sings everything. What can I get for you? Yeah. It's like, and one time I was in a grumpy mood, I'll admit. And I was just like, I gave her my drink in like this monotone voice. And then she was like, she repeated it to me, but in like this mocking, like, like in this low tone. I was just like, you fucking cunt. Don't be a bitch. Like, if you want to sing, fine. But if I don't want to sing, you don't have to then mock me with your stupid, it's going to be $4.75. Fuck you. Just, God.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's where, yeah, you gotta stand your own ground. If you're going to be all outgoing and annoying like that, just being you, I'm just going to be me, and I'll be quiet and just say, yeah, fine.
I'll take a latte. Okay,
thanks.
Yeah, or I'll just start singing it back at her then. Fuck you, bitch! La, 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 la. No, I never do that. I try to be kind. But I think people take tone and inflection as unkind. If you're just like, hey, what can I get for you? Can I just get a burger? Thank you. Appreciate it. They'll think that's rude. Even if you're just like, may I please have a fork? It's like, it's off-putting. Like, come on, man. I mean, I just can't get too up. I don't get up too much. Not like that. I'm perfectly fine there. But I can't get excited. Or I'm excited, but I just don't show it.
So, I mean, are you upset by... Like, that would make me upset because I would feel like their attitude is the norm, and I feel like I'm not, you know, living up to it, you know, being all gregarious and stuff. Like, I resent the contrast for me.
Yeah. I think I'm annoyed by extrovert being normative.
Yeah.
Like, it's assumed that it's normal to be extrovert, and it's abnormal to be introvert.
And, I think, yeah, statistically that's the case, but...
well, I guess...
the numbers. But, yeah, obviously I get your point.
But still, it's annoying. Those people just bug me, too, because I see them as fake. I feel like you're not really always like that. And what the fuck? It's almost like it's too cheery. There's too much shit going on to be this happy. Like, why the fuck are you this happy?
Yeah.
Like, it's 110 outside and Orland ran out of water. They don't have water in their wells. Like, what the fuck are you happy about?
You have read far too many to be
happy. Right. Like, have you seen how many fucking homeless people are in this town? Like, I'm not happy. I don't hate them, but I'm not happy about the situation. Who is? What are you singing songs about here? I understand you can be happy in the midst of suffering, but this is too much. This is overkill. Why don't you tone it back a little bit? Because I feel like you're making up for something. Like, you just go home and get a fifth of whiskey and down your sorrows every night and then put on that happy face in the morning. And it's all just bullshit. But maybe I'm projecting.
Yeah, I guess ultimately I don't know how to, you know, read the situation. Like, it may be genuine. I may just be in a bad mood. You know, if I were in a better mood, you know, I tend to handle that stuff better.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
But I don't know. It doesn't matter. Do you. You want to sing? Sing.
Just don't expect me to sing. I'm not going to sing for you.
Yeah. As long as there's understanding on both sides.
Then we're good.
Jesus didn't sing. I don't see any singing going on. I'm assuming he might have.
I mean,
right? But there's no proof that he sang. So I'm not going to sing.
Right, not like in the Lord of the Rings or anything like that.
Yeah. You ever see that that white woman who her post went viral? It said something about like Jesus didn't get vaccinated, so neither will I.
No, I didn't.
It was like, oh my god, he also didn't take selfies. The fuck are you talking about?
Right.
He didn't dye his hair platinum blonde. You dumb idiot.
Yeah, it probably wasn't, you know, into porn. Anything like that.
I don't think she was into porn either. You don't think Jesus would have looked at porn? You don't? You think Jesus would have looked at his dad's hustler? Sorry, his stepdad, whoever Joseph was. Sorry, Joe. You don't think he would have, if he saw it poking out from his dad's bed, just looked at his Playboy?
Would he have even
at 12? At 13?
Tempted?
Of course he would have been tempted. You don't think he would have done it? You don't think Jesus ever sinned in the way Christians think of sin? He never cussed, muttered under his breath, hit himself with a hammer because he's a carpenter?
I mean, I really don't want to make any kind of assumptions about the guy.
If you had to hedge your bet, though.
If he were truly human, if he got basically the same hardware that I got, then he would be having some serious struggles.
you think he ever shit himself? Other than being a baby?
Oh, right. Like, did he have...
He had a bad...
Did he have colitis or something?
Oh, maybe. I mean, if he died in his early 30s, stuff doesn't manifest for a lot of people, you know, until later, but...
No, so... Yeah, I think, to bring it back around to the question, I think, you know, Jesus was just a regular guy, like you and I, that got it right.
I think so too, man. I used to not be able to parse that out. Like, even as like an early universalist, when I was first universalist, I still had to have Jesus as part of it.
There you go.
But now it's like it's not like I don't need Jesus or don't want Jesus. I think I've reframed him in a different way.
I mean, I don't need him more than I need anybody else. I mean, honestly, I think if we're talking about metanoia, I think Alan Watts has done more for me than Jesus has.
Well, Alan Watts can't save your soul, brother.
Oh.
And I want to take for this real? Opportunity to invite anyone up to the altar who wants to give their life to the Lord tonight.
Then my past 10 years have been a complete waste.
Well, someone suggests that. At the indoctrination center known as church.
I'm not worried if that means anything.
I'm not worried either. I haven't been worried in a long time. I get worried about like my health and safety now. I get worried about the climate, politics. I'm not worried about none of that shit that they tell me is going to happen to me.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been worried about my soul.
No, I am 100% more concerned about this life.
Totally. This life is all the one we know we got. That was a very ungrammatical way of saying that, but you know what I meant. I mush-mouthed my way through that sentence. This is all we can be certain of, right here.
I mean, I would... Yeah, as we kind of talk about, I would I would prefer it if I didn't have any more reincarnations after this one. Like, I would just assume be done, you know. But yeah, I'm not worried that I'll be burning in a pit.
Like, I ain't worried about that shit. Nope.
That just seems beyond absurd at this point.
Yeah.
But
well, we're gonna have to talk about reincarnation at some point on the show. So someone asked that question. we are talking about it for those listening on the booklet that we just finished, and it's going to be out next April, 2022. And we're on to the summer booklet. So yes, indeed, that means that the Bonfire Sessions booklets are going to be a trilogy, but also a 12-a-gy, whatever that means. So it's going to be 12 booklets, four in each series that are going to be, they're going to be three series. And we are working on the second one. And I got to say, pretty fucking good. I really like how it turned out. We'll revisit it before publishing time and see if hopefully it doesn't suck.
No, I just went through it recently and I was
pleasantly surprised. You got to stop being surprised by your own work, Mike. It's actually not shit. So there you go. And we do talk about reincarnation a little bit. I'm on the fence about it. I got to be honest. I don't know. I'd like to think that I have lived some lives before, though. I think at one point I was a pirate. I think at one point I was a cowboy, and I rode horses, rode them well.
You have some evidence to draw on?
Well, the first time I got on a horse, I was like, I've done this shit before.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was a gunslinger. Just fucking...
I've had maybe two or three... Yeah, kind of experiences like that too. So no,
yeah,
we should talk about that.
All right, for sure. Yeah, we'll have to do that at some point. But tonight is not the night because we've been going. We're about out of our time. So Tommy Two Tones Stewart. Thank you for the question. What do we got? We got next week. Do we have a question already? I think we do. And Tommy has claimed his booklet. So if you want to ask a question, join the Bonfire Sessions Facebook group and ask the question. Either post it in the group or DM me if you'd like. I'll try not to lose it. Dennis Tate is our winner for next episode. He asks if Paul was a homophobe. And I'm just going to say, I don't think he was, and I don't think it matters. So we'll get into that. You got any last words of wisdom? Michael?
No, I'm all out.
All out. Don't be a fucking cunt. That's my words of wisdom. Oh, sorry, don't be a dick. Sorry if you're offended by cunt. I think it's a really funny word. I apologize. I think there's nothing funnier than saying, Mike, you're acting kind of cunty right now. I really should tone down on the cunt usage because I think people get offended by that.
If you get offended by anything.
It's going to be that word. I used to think like it's a no-go, but it really is kind of a funny word. And I apologize for using it, people. No, I don't, actually. But, yeah, anyway. Peace and love and all that good shit. All that good hippie shit. See you next time on the Heretic Happy Hour. Happy.